Okay, good morning. I'd like to read 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. And graduation yesterday, the high school and the families that came and visitors and the purpose of that day, recognizing the value of a godly education. This morning, I want to speak about you and I being godly. And the story is from 1 Samuel 17 that I want to use to, I think I'm going to make my point and then I'm going to have you kind of process it in your mind and in your heart by talking to your neighbor, maybe. Maybe, I think so. So just turn to your neighbor and just say, do you think we can work together? Is it, you know, what do you think? You think it'll work? Will it be edifying? Or is it a liability? Okay, so 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, has set the battle in array against the Philistines. One of the blessings of going to Israel is you can go there to this valley. And we have been there and imagined the Jewish people gathered there with King Saul. And then not far off, you could look up on the ridge, and just beyond that is the city or town of Bethlehem. 5 miles north is the city of Jerusalem. So when you have that geography, it's really great to read the Bible, because otherwise you can do it, but it's fun when you have a visual memory. So we have a plan to go to Israel in October, and if you want to go, then check that out and register. So you are welcome. Now look at this story, verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. Now Gath is the old name for Gaza, the Gaza Strip, which the Jews gave to the Palestinians, and they are now launching, or have been launching, missiles from there. So Goliath was from there, from Gaza, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He's somewhere around 9 feet tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. It's about 125 pounds. Of armor that he's carrying with him. But that's not a problem because he is so huge and strong, massive, strong, tall, big guy, a giant of a man. Verse 6, he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's 15 pounds. And one bearing a shield went before him. So he's a substantial person. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you are servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Sounds like a pretty good deal from his point of view. So I want to draw this picture this way. Here's the big guy. Here are the many, many people, the common people, the people that are afraid. These are the Jewish people, we could say. And there's the large, substantial giant. I want to use this to visualize what is happening in the world today. What is happening is that, and there always have been giants, and they can talk to us as common people, and we all talk, we can all talk to each other and have our, and we can use a lot of different words here, but our education was yesterday's theme. Without God, education without God, knowledge, analysis, science, practical experience, statistics, it's obvious. You cannot walk on water, you cannot raise the dead, you cannot believe in God, you may believe in God, but go in your corner. You can never come against me. I am the guy. And he yells out this phrase, and I want it to be a memory verse for you. Give me a man, verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man. Give me a man. Go ahead. Give me a man. You don't have one. Give me a man. Give me a man. He's like a big giant, you know. Give me a man. I'll cut him to pieces. I'll destroy him. Give me a man. You don't have one. You don't have a man. You don't have a message. You don't have any power. You can't do it. Give me a man. He's arrogant. He's big. He's strong. So I'm going to provoke your thinking for a second and ask you, with your neighbor, to describe who you think this giant is. I want to put down here money, and I mean large amounts of money, government. I'm going to put down here social media, technology, communications, nature. Power, influence, you don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have it. He's talking to the group, but this is my message today, and it's beautiful. Wow. It's being an individual. Being an individual. Back in my days, for many of us, 60s, 70s, individuality wasn't the message of the church. The church was taking the hippies and coming to God and being in the body and being a part of the body, not being an individual that way. But now I am afraid that we are in a culture of conformity. Everybody is to say the same thing. Everybody's to believe the same way. Everybody's to understand, you people, you stay down there. You don't have anything. You're just, you know, you little people. We are empowered. We are the government. We are the media. We are the money people. We have the experts. We are the educated, we are the ones, and you people go back in your corners, all right? So that's what we're going to speak about for a few minutes today, okay? Is there a man? Yeah, there is. And he's a very little guy. There is. There's three things about him we want to share this morning. Is there a guy? Is there a man? Yeah, there is. In Goliath, you're going to learn something. Actually, you're going to learn nothing. You're going to be done, toasted. You're going to be finished. You're going to shut your big mouth. You don't know a thing, because there is a God in heaven. There is a living God, and there's a little guy, and he knows who that God is, and that's what's needed in this world we live in, an education that comes from the living God, spiritual understanding and insight. I am afraid, and I think we all can say this, a quote from C.S. Lewis. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next world. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. In other words, if everybody has groupthink, everybody's thinking with the group, everybody's obeying and submitted to the propaganda, everybody is afraid of the big giant, everybody's walking in step, everybody's saying the right thing, saying the same thing, then we have nothing but a giant that's ruling over us, mocking, intimidating, and he doesn't care about you. He does not care about you. He's just a giant bully. He is a bully. Talk about bullying. We are being bullied by the world that we live in. Talk about a kid at high school being bullied. We're talking about the whole universe being bullied by Satan and by authority and by arrogance. People that don't know God, don't care about God. They're not humble. They'll never be submitted to God. They're too big and strong. They're very effective. They're very successful. They're very big. They're very strong. They don't care about God. Who cares about you? Who cares about the common? Who cares about the weak and the infirm? Who cares about the sinner and the abused and the victim? Who cares about those people? Well, Christ does, our Heavenly Father. So this will be fun. It is fun. There will be a guy who's going to come out of the group, and he's a little guy. And he's different. He is different. The giant says, give me a man. He is coming, Mr. Giant. He is coming. You better get your act together, because he's real. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a living God. And he's very little. He's very meek. He's very obedient. And all his life, he's submitted. This is a big thing. This man, Goliath, he is not submitted. This man is submitted. Learn submission. You learn this. This is a good theme. I want to be submitted. I want to be submitted to this. I want to be submitted to God in my heart. Amen. Because you are regenerated, you have the nature of Christ, and submission is easy for you because of your new nature. You want to be submitted. We used to say, you know, that phrase, isn't it? You know which side your bread is buttered on? Like, you know where your gasoline is coming from? You know, like, which side of the thing is? You know where... You know, where you really live, This is submission and being submitted. And we're celebrating this week in our school, both high school and MBCNS, this principle that these young people, a man from Arizona was at our graduation, a relative of Natalia, I always call her Natalie, so I have to check myself a few times before I say her name. I don't even know, did I get it right? Okay, Natalia, and he told me after he loved the message, we had a good time talking, and he said, this service, it was so much work. I came from Arizona, and this is why I came. I saw in this service, and I want this back in Arizona. This is what he, in his heart, he's saying. I love that. When you and I are something like David, and we're listening different from the common people are afraid, but David is listening in a different way. He is seeing the giant, but somehow he's like processing it a different way because he's submitted to God. When you are submitted to God, you will be processing life differently. It'll be different. It'll be spiritual. You'll have faith. You have an understanding, and you realize that this guy is just a big bully, and it's up to God. And I don't know if it's the time right now, I don't know if it's me, but I'm available, and then God is giving him the message, go for it. I'm with you. Go for it. It's your time. This is your time. This is your time. Are you afraid? Yeah, why am I afraid? I haven't been living a life of submission. I haven't been submitted. I haven't in my spirit and my heart been submitted to God as a way of life. So when the guy comes, I'm not there. I can't do it. I'm like everybody else. I listen to the other people. I read the same things as the other people. I walk like the other people. I'm afraid like the other people. And I am listening to that giant just like everybody else is listening to him. And when David came forward and said, I'll go. That's not a problem. I can go. And Saul said, here, put on my equipment. Put on my equipment. But David is saying, no, it doesn't fit. And I don't get it. That's not the way I am living. You may not understand me, but I don't need it. I'm not taking it. Guys, I'm not like that. I have another education. I have I shared it yesterday. Winston Churchill, in one of his speeches in a dinner, society dinner in Liverpool, England, 1901, he said, one aspect of modern life which strikes me very much is the elimination of the individual. Modern life, and we find the giant in modern life in big labor unions and also which we are thankful for in many ways. I have big money, but now fast forward, we see it in big tech. We see it in the power structures and platforms of our society that are huge. And they're saying, we crush individuals. We crush individuals. You're part of the group. All right, sit down and behave. You're part of the group. Do you ever want to see your 401k? You want to see any retirement? Do you want to see a promotion? Do you want to see a good job? Do you want to live in the nice part of town? Do you want to be educated? You want the experts to tell you you're okay? Then sit down and behave. That armor, all that world is not with this other kind of person that I want you and I to be. I want you and I, but not me. God wants you and I to be another kind of person. Educated as a disciple. Educated is submitted. Educated by the Spirit. Growing up in faith. And I think many of our graduates are really stirred to be challenged. And for us to say to them, you are able. You can go to Argentina, start preaching. People will get saved. They'll come to you. They'll say, teach me. And you kind of look around like, I'm 23 years old. What? You want me to teach you? Who else is going to teach me? Open your Bible and start teaching them. Starting a Sunday school. Getting married and loving your wife. That's a new idea. That's a brand new concept. Not just love your wife on the first 2 years or 5 years, but how about on the 7th and the 27th year? The Bible says that Christ laid down his life for the church and that men are to love their wives the same way that he laid down his life for the church. And by the way, Christ is always laying down his life for us. Is he washing our feet still? Is he forgiving us still? Is he speaking to us still? Is he pursuing us still? Is he ever going to love us still? Is he going to put up with our craziness still? Huh? Yeah, he's going to love the church and wash it and prepare it as his bride. And a man is to love his wife with that kind of love. Okay, so I'll stop there. You talk to your neighbor for a minute and then I'll finish the message. One thing we see in the story that's precious to us is that David, the little guy, that he was a righteous man. That's the righteousness from God. This is the second story of the house where God is with you. God is holy and you are holy and satisfied. In the first century, when Christianity was in the pagan world, and by the way, the first 15 out of the first 15 Caesars of the Roman Empire, 14 of them were homosexuals. Homosexuality was a lifestyle in the first century. Fornication was very common. In Corinth, we read that. And I want to teach that seventh chapter sometime in the future. I saw some things in there that are very good on this subject. Where did the homosexuality go in the Roman Empire? What happened? Why did it more or less disappear? What happened? Christianity took over. It's wiser. The Christian faith is wiser than Goliath. David is wiser. David has God. The Christians had God. But they were not empowered politically or economically. But they had God. And their families, their creativity, their energy, their fidelity, their loyalty, their character. And the Roman philosophers started to realize that this is better. It is better. So we have been there, and now we're reverting to paganism. And I want you to notice it in the world around you and recognize it, that it's a bully. And it's everywhere, and it's going to be everywhere, and it's strong, and it's Goliath. It's big and strong. And he says, give me a man, in a mocking way. because he knows he can crush anybody. But he doesn't know that if you are grounded in foolishness, your ground is slippery. Psalm 73. If you don't have a transcendental living relationship, the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be bold. You can be a bully, but you can't be bold. That's interesting. That's Proverbs, is it 28:1? The righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when nobody pursues. You know, there's something in Goliath, in his size and everything, big size strength, but inside he's a child. Inside he is afraid. Like inside he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. They don't have it, but they are empowered. But they don't have what you have. They do not have what you have. It's awesome. They don't have what we have. We have God. Jesus Christ showed it to us. Here, Jesus Christ comes like as a little David. The Roman Empire is there, and Jesus is having a talk. And Pilate realizes, maybe we are in trouble. Rome, maybe the Roman Empire, maybe I am in trouble. Maybe he is a god. He said, are you a god then? And his answer shook Pilate. You know, amazing. So let's finish up here. Three things about David that I want you to have. Number one, I want you to be a thinking person. I want you to be a thinker. Pastor Steve mentioned it in his introduction. Ask why. Why? Ask, investigate. Search it out. Let's have a discussion about it. I want the debate. You are believing in wokeism. You are believing in this alternative. So why? Let's talk about it. Give me the reasons. I want to think about it. I want to understand you better. And they have their reasoning and their thinking and so on, but there's one thing lacking, the second story of the house. They have their package, like Goliath had his armor. But one thing was lacking. He didn't have more. He didn't have it. Goliath didn't have it. That's incredible. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. Roman Empire didn't have it. They didn't have it. They had the largest army, greatest navy. They had all the money in the world. They had power, everything, but they didn't have it. But you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give me a man, he says, give me a man. Well, that's what we are. Number one, you have to be a thinker. You have to be vigorous in your thinking. You have to be reading the Bible and asking why. You have to be processing this information in devotion. You have to be a person that can read people that ask the question, search it out, and at least Strobel, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell, Timothy Keller, many theologians, that Lewis Sperry Shaver, Spurgeon. You have to be exercised in your heart and mind, because wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:8, I don't know, I don't have what I need, but it is wisdom for me now to come before this giant man. It's God's time. I am prepared. Be submitted to the doctrine. The doctrine is from the second floor of the house. It's God's word. Listen to these verses in Psalm 119. I like this word, quicken. You may look it up in your concordance and look up the word quicken. I cling to the dust, but quicken me according to your word. Verse 25. All these are from Psalm 119. And quicken thou me in thy way. Thy precepts quicken me in thy righteousness. What does quicken mean? Make me alive. Make me alive. I had two young men. I asked them a question at one of these barbecues we were at. I said, let me ask you two guys a question. I go, if you were with a group of young guys and it's kind of dull, everybody's kind of bored. There's five guys and you're just nothing going on and nobody's saying anything. You're just chilling or hanging out, but it's kind of dull. What do you do about that? What do you do about that when you... And one of them said, well, I go away and I look for somebody who has some excitement or something going on or do something different. And the other brother said, I don't know. What should I do? I said, learn to practice to provoke and encourage. Be quickened yourself as a way of life. Quicken me in your word. Quicken me in the way. Quicken, make me alive. And then help those five brothers by sharing something, encouraging them, loving them. Because life is not to be dull and boring. And by the way, the Christian faith is not dull and boring. I mean, anybody have a stereotypical idea of Christians? Kind of dull and boring, sitting in a church, and the music is like a funeral march dirge. The conversation is like zero, and everybody's waiting to get home to go watch the Super Bowl or something. Like the church is dull and dead and boring. Is it? Is your faith dull and boring? If I hung out with David. It says David went to the cave of Adullam, and the men that were in distress and discouraged and disheartened would go to the cave with David, and maybe they would write a psalm, sing a song, say a prayer, seek God, tell jokes, get in a wrestling match, box a little bit, fight with each other, wrestle, break a bone or two, have a good time, and then go, yeah, it's fun to be a believer. What does this Psalm 119 mean? It says, there's an intellectual quickening. Thy precepts quicken me in your righteousness, quicken me after your loving kindness. You don't have to take the part about the wrestling. You can, but, I heard some guys had a boxing match the other day, just for fun with boxing gloves. But, when you land a punch, you're fooling around, but you land a punch a little harder than like you should have, it can turn ugly pretty fast. Verse 88, quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Quicken me according to your judgment. Deliver me. Quicken me according to your word. Quicken me according to your judgments. Quicken me, O Lord, according. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake. 143:11. Okay. Number two, David had content. Number one, be a thinker. Number two, content. Where do you get the content? Being here this morning, you're getting content. You're carrying it home in the car. Talk to your wife on the way. Who do you think Goliath is today? Pastor Love mentioned going into, the mall? Barnes & Noble, big display section, bookstore, about how a little boy wants to be a girl or how to handle all books on that subject, all the books on it. Reminds me of the communist world. When we lived in the communist world, there's like all the propaganda. I was actually detained on a ship in the harbor in the Soviet Union for a couple of days because of being caught smuggling Bibles back in 1976. And all they gave me to read was the propaganda. So I started reading the communist propaganda, and I got a headache from it. I mean, it was just, honestly, it was, I put it down, and then I just thought I'd read a little more of it and think about it, and I got a headache from it. It's a joke. It's a joke. This stuff at Barnes & Noble's, it's a joke. This stuff is garbage. This stuff is not interesting to me. It's a joke. So in the communist world, what happened? There was the propaganda on the TV. There were the politicians. There was the university professors. And all that stuff is going on. And the people in their homes are telling jokes about it. They're not taking it seriously. It's a joke. It's abusive. It's stuff that doesn't mean anything. It has no value to you and me because we have content. Third thing in finishing, pride. Pride. Pride in education. You know, in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., I read there in one of those parts of the museum, two-thirds of the SS officers in Nazi Germany were college educated. Two-thirds of these murderers were college educated. Two-thirds of the SS special forces that were given the job of exterminating the Jews, two-thirds of them were college educated. Was there pride in Nazism? Yeah, straight up racism, straight up murder. Yeah, straight up power. Oh yeah, Goliath. Goliath is out there. But when you find a man or a woman of God, and thank God for the people that are in our government that are like David, that are willing to stand and say, give it your best shot, Goliath, because I'm coming at you. And the people on the radio, and we have freedom of press, and many times those platforms or avenues may be very small or narrow, but it doesn't matter as long as I can hear clear sound of truth and study it out and be humble before God. And the stuff that's happening, in my opinion, is nothing more than Goliath, the big bully, shouting, give me a man, give me a man. And we're hearing you, Goliath, and we're coming in spirit. We aren't proud. We don't want to be proud. We can be proud, but we don't want to be proud. We want content. Therefore, we're studying this and thinking about not only the Bible, but human history and human nature. Because it's just a repetition. Human nature and the history repeating itself. It's just a repetition. So we watch it, and then there'll be a day or time when you are there because you have been living this way. And when it's time, it can crumble. I'm not kidding you. It can crumble. When it's time, it can crumble. It can come down. God can put it on its head. God can shame it. God can put it down. Many Psalms say that. David believed that. And he said, many there are that are against me, but you are my keeper. You are the lifter of my head. You are my restoration. You are my anointing. You are my fellowship. The Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America has to show up. We have to show up. And the big bully is shouting and saying, there isn't you. No way. You people just go back in your corner and behave. And we're like saying, no, we've been educated in a secret place. We've been in a Bible school. We've been in a church. We have found Jesus. We have our joy. We have our freedom. We have our peace. We have our kids. We have our education. We have our friends. We respect experts, but I want to have a spiritually minded expert. God, some experts are like Goliath. Just because they're called an expert, it doesn't mean that they're an expert or that they have God's mind. Because experts say you can't walk on water. But an education with God says, don't say you can't. It's up to God if these bones live and if you can walk on water and raise the dead. Because we are disciples of Christ. Okay, amen. That's our message. Lord, this is a good time for us to think about being serious with you. I have felt it in my heart how easily I can be ashamed and afraid. I can be intimidated and ridiculed. I can go hide in a cave somewhere. Elijah did it, didn't he? Didn't he? He ran away from Jezebel, but he was so bold, and then he felt the pressure. And we say these things as meditation for us to consider these things. And we believe that if we can, on a consistent basis, be listening to what you have to say to us, you will build us up in our inner man. We will embrace truth in our hearts, and we'll be there ready, because this is how we live. It might be just waiting in a line in a cafeteria or something, and you're just in a relaxed way, say something meaningful. It's like talking to a relative and sitting in the backyard just talking about the cicadas or something, and then it just comes to your heart. It's so beautiful that you have content. You have something to say out of love. Goliath doesn't like it when we are an individual with authority in our lives. And we are. So we need the church attendance. We need our personal Bible, our lot of joy and a lot of faith in these end times. Rejoicing always, loving each other deeply. And then someone sitting here maybe hasn't started the Christian life. In your heart, decide today. Put your trust in Christ and continue in him. Walk by faith in him. Talk to him. Trust him. Bring it to God. He will help you. Fill you with the Spirit and teach you, guide you in your personal life. If you're saying this prayer, just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. If you're saying that prayer, then you are saying the prayer of salvation, and you're saying yes and believing in him today. In Christ's name.